Alright, now we're going to deal with the final question is, what do you think the future holds for environmental thought, the environment, and ecology in general?
Well, you might say it's hard to be optimistic about the future, but we can be hopeful. Another way, people ask me how I feel. I say I'm an opto-pessimist, meaning that I know that it's very easy and there's so many things happening that I'm very pessimistic about the future of the world and humanity. But we can be optimistic, and we can be optimistic because once people understand and realize that we must now, it's not just a luxury, see, ecology in national parks, a luxury, see, you know, it's not no longer just a luxury, but a necessity. In other words, integrating man and nature. It's more difficult than integrating blacks and whites in many ways. It's going to take a tremendous effort, something of that order. Lots of court actions, lots of government, lots of wars in a way, lots of controversy, tremendous resistance by people who want status quo or who dream that we can continue business as usual the way we're doing it. But they know instinctively you can't, but they want to continue to do it in their lifetime anyway. And the concern, people are concerned about their children now. They say, I'm not sure the life of my child will be better. We've always assumed that the life of the child will be better than theirs. It's just a struggling farmer assumes that his child's going to be better off than he is. And he is. He was last generation. You're probably better off than your parents, but I don't know. But every parent assumes, you know. So the optimism then is basically education at all levels. College education is not important because students already have their minds pretty well set when they come to college. I mean, they're already all into cars, powerful things, and beer drinking and things like that, having fun, you know, partying. Mm-hmm. They don't really take this seriously much. I'm not talking about people that are in the field. The average student at your college is not taking environment very seriously.
Right.
Definitely. We have, the students have an environmental organization, and they meet together, talk with them. They have the university recycle and things of that sort. But it's a very small group.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a long, no, and I'm optimistic we have time. I mean, sometimes in where humans are, things have to get better before they get worse. So I think that's what's going to be happening. Things will get pretty bad, and then we realize that you have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so things are better. The Georgia landscape is better than it was in 1930. It's a couple of the green. You don't see the red soil as much. That isn't the real soil, I said. So you shouldn't see red soil. You maybe see it around constructions. So the urban problem is a big problem. And there again, universities don't have any departments of urban affairs. They have urban planning, maybe at Georgia Tech. But your college has nothing about cities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, we just are not organized. Not going to be organized until people rise up and say, damn you colleges, you're not teaching anything worth studying. In addition to teaching the fundamentals, you've got to start teaching now the interfaces or something.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be useful doing them. The state university does a better job in small colleges because they have the vast extension groups, continuing education center here,
which
is tempting to educate people outside of class. Good success there, like the conference I attended yesterday. You see, that's a conference about interface between ecology and economics. And we have wonderful quarters for conferences like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hotel, eating, and all in the same building, you know. So we do a good job of that part. And the state university, to me, is very important. It's a unique American institution. We don't have anything like that. Now, developed countries, I tell people, look, South was once undeveloped. In the 30s, we were about as undeveloped as some South American countries. You know, large numbers of rural people, poor health, bad, no industry worth that, low education, low literacy, and everything. Since in 50 years, we became a developed country. Part of it was due to the help we got from the North, Roosevelt here, which poured money in here to help us out. But part of it was due to the university, training people in Sunday County agents out to improve farming at first, but that also ended up improving whole life standards. And the trouble is, the Extension Service didn't move the time, it didn't get urban people in. They have county agents that have, should have a bunch of urban agents to help the developers quit messing up the land, get a conservation area for developers. So, in many ways, we've succeeded so well that we failed. Extension group is so successful and so admired and called upon by the citizens of the state that we forgot that 60% of our population, and probably 70-80% pretty soon will be urban. The county agent walking around the farm on the side of how to plan and not going to work. We need that. So we have to be hopeful. Back down to what you're doing and what people, what your college is doing, is education. You might want to take a look at your curriculum in your college and say, oh, are we meeting, are we really set up to deal with the real world problems? And talk to your deans. President, say, look, could we make ourselves different? Are we just going to be another little college like 100 others? Could we be a little different here? Establish an ecological center.
Interesting idea.
Well, why not? We did it on peanuts. Just get people interested together. Then you can often get money because the money is available for doing new things or interfacing things. So that's they're not available for traditional. Mentioned with the jobs going to be in those areas. So one is not too optimistic. One realizes it'll be bad times, hard times. How to control our own population is a difficult job. Two ways we can. We can make a real effort to stop unwanted fertility, as it's called. Children that nobody wants, it gets born all over the world. Children get born abandoned. They usually abused. They become criminals. Street kids. And those are people nobody wants. So the result. Then the other one is that we can convince undeveloped countries they don't need big families anymore. They have to have them when they're undeveloped because they have to have somebody to move the cows and take out the garbage and do everything. City, extra children just can't be supported, can't be had enough for them to do child labor. It would be better if there was some labor than they had to do. Poor person living in a little small apartment, there's nothing, no chores for the kids. They're going around getting trouble. So change the attitudes on them. And if you do that, the estimates, the best estimate I saw is instead of 10 million people in the middle of next century, or in your lifetime, maybe it's just Schumer's lifetime, we would end up with 7, and that would be a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah.
7 million compared to 10 million, the environment would be perhaps livable. And the quality of life for 7 million would be a hell of a lot better under any conditions than the quality of life for 10 million. I simply don't believe on that, you know. Do with them. None of those well-meaning people there white people laying in front of the ocean face, they wouldn't have to have one of those black children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. And, you know, so that there's so many hypocritical people in our society. Well meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Hypocritical. Fixed on an idea like this murder. Such thing as right of life. Yeah. Every germ cell in the world and every organism, you know, yeah, there has to be life after death. So people ask you about the hereafter. I say, sure, there's life after death. That's what decomposition is. If you didn't have things die, there could be no life in the future. You see,
yeah.
You could die and return and it gets
everything tied up.
That's why our graveyard. That's what, you know, what all of us can turn your back
into. Well, there's time all up in.
Yeah, if nobody's ever decayed, and nobody's on no trees, and no nothing ever decayed, then of course, you know, pretty soon there wouldn't be any basis for life, new life. So if medicine saw that you don't ever die, you saw aging, you live forever, then you can't have any children at all.
Nothing like that.
So we end up with bunch of old men and women. Well, I think, again, what's hopeful is that people are beginning to recognize that what's true of the part, what's desirable for the part, individual, is not necessarily desirable for the whole.